Om Sahana Pratum Sahanam Pranatu Sahavirjam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Testing. Sound still okay? I'm not getting much of a... Can you all hear me online? It is good, okay. It's good. Okay. Let's go to the prayer verse. You want to chant this. Do you have a copy of this? I want to chant the prayer verse every time. And I also want us to learn the Dakshinamurti Stotram so we can easily chant it. So we're going to be going from verse, every time we're going to go from the beginning and work our way through the verse that we're on. So for now, though, just repeat after me. And starting with the prayer verse, the very first one.
Maunavyakya prakatita parabrahmatattvam yivanam varshishtante vasadrishikanaihi avratam brahmanishtaihi acharyendram karakalita chin mudram anandamurtim acharyendram karakalita chin mudram anandamurtim swatma ramam mudita vadanam dakshina murtimide dakshina swatma ramam mudita vadanam dakshina murtimide.
Now I'll do the whole line. Line by line.
Mauna vyakya prakatita parabrahmatattvam yuvanam. Mauna vyakya prakatita parabrahmatattvam yuvanam. Parishishtante vasadrishikanair avritam brahmanishtai. Parishishtante vasadrishikanair avritam brahmanishtai. Acharyendram karakalita chin mudram anandamurtim acharyendram karakalita chin mudram anandamurtim swatma ramam mudita vadanam dakshina murtimide swatma ramam mudita vadanam dakshina murtimide.
So let's just chant it together. Try your best.
Mauna vyakya prakatita parabrahma tattvam yuvanam varshishthante vasadrishikanair avratam brahma nishtai acharyendram karakalita chin mudram anandamurtim swatma ramam mudita vadanam dakshina murtimide.
The next one.
Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari Tulyam nijantargatam Tulyam nijantargatam Pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivodbhutam yatha nitraya Pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivodbhutam yatha nitraya Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanamevadvayam Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanamevadvayam Tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namah Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Let's start together.
Vishwandarpanadrishyamananagari tulyanyijantarakatam Pashyamnatmani mayaya bihirivodbhutam yathanitraya Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanamevadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namah Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Verse 2. Repeat after me. Repeat after me, then I'll break the sandhi and we'll go through it and then we'll practice it after I teach it.
Bijasyantari vankaro jagadidam. Bijasyantari vankaro jagadidam. Prangnirvikalpam punaha. Prangnirvikalpam punaha. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana. Vaichitri chitri kritam. Vaichitri chitri kritam. Maya viva vijrimbayatyapi maha. Maya viva vijrimbayatyapi maha. Yogi vayasvechaya. Yogi vayasvechaya. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namah Idam. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namah Idam. Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
I break the sandhi just for the sake of you being able to chant it without my doing the whole line. I broke some words. I'll show you that when we go through. So, sandhi. Bijasya. Antar Iva Ankuraha. Bijasya Antar Iva Ankuraha. Jagat Idam. Prak Nirvikalpam. See the punar? If you have this, the otter is on the next line. That's a sandhi, but if I break it's the actual word is punar, but if we end the line there, it's going that R is going to be a visarga, punaha. So you heard me say punaha, right? And that's that R being changing to visarga. So punar. Then maya, kalpita, desha, kala, kalana, vaichitriya, chitri, kritam. Okay. Mayavi. Longi mayavi iva vidrimbayati api maya yogi longi iva yaha swa ichaya. For people who don't know Sanskrit, this is called sandhi, where the letters change as they come into contact with each other. There's a lot of rules that you have to learn. If you see that swechaya, it's a compound, but if I were to break the sandhi, it's swa ichaya. So a plus e makes a, so that's a rule that you have to learn when you learn Sanskrit. Next week you can all start. Swechaya. Then tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaha. Sarga drops. Namaha idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Okay. So, here again we're talking about how the creation manifests from the self. Now, the last one, the Vishwadarpanadrishyamananagari, where it's looked at as a mirror, so the whole, like a city reflected in a mirror existing inside of yourself, where you're the conscious being that's illuminating that whole city, right? Or, so, but now here, how does that city get here? How does the city come? How does this creation come? What is that like? So this process is being talked about now. So he says, bijasya. Bija is a seed. So bijasya, of a seed, like the seed of a tree or the seed of a flower. So of a seed, bijasya antar
inside of a seed. Bijasya antar, inside of a seed. Bijasya antar eva, like inside of a seed. Eva means like. So bijasya antar eva ankuraha, like a sprout. Ankura is a sprout. Like the sprout inside of the seed. Bijasya antar eva ankuraha. Jagat idam, this universe, this jagat. Jagat means the whole universe, everything that the maya, the whole maya upadi, everything that exists within time and space is the jagat, the universe. Idam jagat. Idam means this universe that we experience. This universe, prak nirvikalpam, prior, before, is nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam is, okay, take it like this. This universe first, before it's here, before this universe is here, it's prior to this universe being here, it's nirvikalpam. There's no manifest duality. Nirvikalpam means there's no division, there's no duality. Just like a sprout inside of a seed. When the seed is there, before the seed is sprouted, the sprout's not there. Right? The seed, any given seed, can grow into a tree or to a plant or a variety of kinds. You have no idea. When you see the seed, if you were to cut the seed open, there's no sprout there. Right? So, but the sprout is there, unmanifest, in the seed. Even though you can't see it, like a oak tree is going to sprout from the seed of the oak tree, it's going to sprout into an oak tree, not into a pine tree. You know, the seed of a rose is going to sprout into a rose, not into a daffodil. So what is actually in that seed, even though it's not there manifest for you to see, that duality is not there, still, nevertheless, it's in causal condition, it's in latent form. Right, it's an unmanifest form, which we call avyakta. Avyakta means that which has not yet manifest, come into any type of manifestation. But if it's avyakta, if something is in the avyakta state, that means it's an unmanifest condition, which will then again come into manifestation. Right, so the seed will sprout as the tree, and then that tree will let go of other seeds, and those seeds will then sprout as the tree. And with one of the commentaries on this, they're talking about, you know, with this tree seed, just like chicken egg, which came first? Which came first, the seed or the tree? Right? So we say, in terms of the universe is viewed as Maya, the universe is viewed as beginningless. You can never say which came first, even with the Guru Sisha. Who came first, the guru or the sisha? You know, the guru totally depends. I mean, the sisha depends upon the guru. You know, but then the guru, to be a guru, had to be a sisha, and so it's kind of this circle. So here, what he says is, so it starts out saying, before this universe, prak, before this universe was there, it was nirvikalpa, means unmanifest, no duality present. Right? Just like a sprout inside, antaram, it's inside. Just like a sprout inside of a seed. Then he says, punar, and then again, maya kalpita, this is all one word, maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitriya chitri kritam. Then again, this universe that was previously an unmanifest condition, again, becomes chitri kritam. It becomes displayed. It displays. It is made into a picture. It means it becomes chitri kritam. It becomes manifest. Again means the creation that was in the unmanifest had gone into unmanifest. Now again, that very creation that was in the unmanifest becomes manifest. So chitri kritam. By chitriya, chitri kritam means it becomes manifest. In Vaichitriya means an infinite variety, in manifold ways. I mean, when the creation becomes manifest, it's not one thing becomes manifest. It's an infinite variety, an infinite manifestation of infinite variety. That's what we mean by the Vaichitriya, Chitrikritam. So this universe becomes manifest in an infinite manifestation of infinite diversity, And then that is something in that infinite diversity through the manifestation of Desha Kala, time and space, right? Then, as this universe comes into manifestation, there's a manifestation of Desha and Kala, time and space, all of which is projected Kalpita by Maya. Maya Kalpita, Desha Kala Kalana. The Kalana means the manifestation of variety is also taking place, is effected by the manifestation of time and space. Just imagine this creation if you were to get rid of space. You can't have diversity without space, right? So this time and space, and time is change. So with Kala, with time, there's infinite change going on, and with space there's infinite depth, infinite diversity. So here, let's see. So now, just in these two lines, what he's saying is that this creation cyclically goes from nirvikalpa, an unmanifest condition, which we call avyakta, to a manifest condition. The manifest condition is the display of this creation. So there's time, there's space, there's objectivity, and there's an infinite variety of it. So there's the display of an infinite picture, you know, an infinite variegated picture, inclusive of time and space, all projected. Kalpita means projected by Maya. So then the question is, who projects it? What is causing this creation that comes into manifestation and goes into its and then goes into its unmanifest condition? What allows for that? So then he says in the next line, Mayavi Eva. Mayavi is the one who wields Maya, but in just common parlance, the Mayavi is the magician. So just like a magician, Mayavi, just like the one from Mayavin, that in affix shows possession, the one who holds the Maya. So in the world, the Mayavi is the magician. So just like a magician can bring things into manifestation, this vijrimbayati api, just like a magician, how a magician can bring things into manifestation. Or he says, maha yogi eva, or just like a great yogi, because the yogis are considered those yogis who have the siddhis, you know, that can bring things into imagination, bring things into manifestation as they desire, as they so desire, because they've worked to develop those type of siddhis. So just like a great yogi can bring something into manifestation, or just like a magician. Swamiji, when he's talking about in this verse, he'll talk about the magician as the famous rope trick. And the famous rope trick is the magician will take a rope, throw it up into the air, and then climb it. How's that possible?
Indian rope.
That's the Indian rope trick. Throw the rope up into the air, climb up on top of the rope, climb the rope. So just like a magician with the Indian rope trick, you know, or like the Mahayogi who can bring things into manifestation at will. So he says, yaha, the one who, yaha, he who, swa ichaya, just by their will, according to their desire. Swa means one's own, icha, according to their desire. So the Mayavi, as he desires, he creates his magic. The Mahayogi, according to his desire, as he desires, he brings in things into manifestation. So just like that, right? This creation is something that Ishwara really, as the great Mahayogi, as the great Mayavin, brings this creation into manifestation, sustains it and resolves it. What's important here, we have to remember the previous verse. In the previous verse, because these verses, they're independent and they build on each other both. In the previous verse, he says this: the one who has this sakshat pitta, you know, who has this direct immediate knowledge, he is my teacher. That's the basic sense. The one who has this, knows this directly, immediately, he is my teacher. Knows what? The one who sees clearly that this universe, right, this universe, he goes, Darpana Drishya Mana Nagari Tulyam Nijam Taragatam, that this Vishwa, is like a city which is being seen in a mirror, which in fact is existing inside of myself. So seeing this city, so I look out here, and I see this creation, which is really what I'm seeing is a vritti, right? And so the vritti is as though something, the vritti means the thought modification, this thought modification that's being generated right now by my eyes. I'm seeing this room, I have a thought modification of the room, and so the thought modification is like a mirror. Just imagine this. I'm holding up a mirror to the room. So now I have a thought modification true to the room. Now this room that is being seen is in fact illumined by me. Right? I'm aware of the entire thought modification. It exists in my awareness. That's the Nijan Taragatam. The thought modification, whatever I'm perceiving, actually is a vritti, is a thought modification, which is existing in me, the whole thing. And yet, because of the Dehatma Buddhi, because of this identification with the body, I see myself as existing within it, right? I see myself as this individual who is existing within the room. I'm existing within this creation. I don't see this creation as existing within me. And so the jnani is the one who says, yes, that's true. This now, you have to be able to see both things. From the standpoint of this body, it's like the individual within the meadow. From the standpoint of, you know, the imaginary meadow, from the standpoint of this body, I am within the room, walking around in the room, perceiving the room. That's my experience, even now. For the Mahatma, for the person who has knowledge, yes, that's also the experience. Also is the experience that this body, mind, sense organs is existing in the room, and the whole thing, including the body, mind, sense organs, whichever thoughts are going on in the mind, whatever perceptions are there, whatever imaginations are there, the whole thing, in fact, is illumined by me, is not away from me, and is therefore existing in me. So the one who sees this clearly and sees that the Maya that allows me to be walking through myself as though the creation exists outside of me, rather than the whole thing existing inside of me. For the whole creation to exist inside of you, this body, mind, sense organs has to belong to the creation. Everything that you've identified with as yourself has to now be seen as part of Ishwara. That's the viveka. So then you've differentiated your conscious being that you are, the me, from this, from all of your perceptions, and then you realize that all of these things that are perceived by me are not in any way away from me. And so that's what's being said here by this verse. Just like he says, just like in the deep sleep, from the deep sleep you go into the dream. Right? It's like saying, just like in the dream. It's easy for you to say the whole dream exists in me. And yet through Maya, I'm as though existing in it. You dream a meadow. The whole meadow is existing in me, but I as a character within the meadow, right, exist inside of the meadow, experiencing the meadow outside of me. And so I experience myself as being within this creation, and the creation, subject, object, I am the subject, this is the object. But what has to happen is that this body, mind, sense organs has to be seen as ultimately part of the object, part of Ishwara, not separate from Ishwara. How can I do that in any way that's real and not just kind of an intellectual exercise? If it's an intellectual exercise, it's interesting, but it's not freeing. It's freeing when I recognize the stability of my own self and the non-objectifiable nature of my own self. And then from that standpoint, I recognize directly and immediately that all of these perceptions, that this room, this meadow, whatever the perception is, that there's no part of it that has any distance from myself. It's a whole teaching methodology, in fact, in Saturday, this is one we're going to get into. But just think of it like this, how profoundly strong the Dehatma Buddhi is. I am this body. That notion could not be stronger. That notion has originated from beginningless time, and everything about you as a jiva, as an individual, gives credence to that perception, because your sense organs and your mind and your body all are part of Maya, and they're all existing within Maya, and the sense organs look outside. So that's going to be your perception. In order to see it differently, you have to differentiate consciousness itself, the consciousness that makes you you, from all of these objects of perception. And once you do that, once you make that differentiation, then you realize that this body is not away from me, but neither is the painting. The painting is in my consciousness. That wall is in consciousness. This body is in consciousness. This blouse is in consciousness. This is in consciousness. In fact, there is no experience that I'm having that is away from consciousness. Like what? Like the dream. Like a city in a mirror. There's nothing, if you look at the image, or if you look at a dream, or you look at your imagination, you can see, you can say, no, there is nothing away from consciousness. There's nothing away from me. If you look at it in terms of a thought, you can always think of any type of thought, not just the thought of a city. Any thought is really being reflected, the objects of the thought are being reflected in the mind, which is being illumined by you. Right? Any thought you have, that thought is reflected in the mind like a mirror, you can say, because of whatever means of knowledge are being used to feel that thought. So like a mirror, that thought, that object is being reflected in the mind, and I illumine it. Since I illumine whatever is in the thought, right? The thought exists in me. The thought exists in me, everything in the thought exists in me. Right? So in reference to your thought, that's very easy to see. In reference to an imagination of a meadow, easy to see. In reference to a dream, easy to see. But why isn't it easy to see in reference to this waking state? Because of the Dehatma Buddhi, because of the tremendous identification I have with this body. Even though, when we analyze it, your body is known to you through the same five sense organs as the world is known. You have no other means of knowledge. If you didn't have the five sense organs available to you, this body would not be known. If your eyes aren't working, you won't see any color. If your ears are deaf, you won't hear any sound. You'll still be there, but the instruments don't work. So you require this body and these sense organs to perceive this world. Right? And you require the mind, the mind itself, to hook up with the sense organs. If your mind's daydreaming, the sense organs aren't working. Right? Whatever's going on in your mind is what you illumine. Okay? This body is illumined. The thoughts are illumined. The emotions are illumined. So everything that I've taken to be myself, because of that identification, is in fact part of the meadow. It's part of the room. It's part of the experience. And all I need to do, that's not making less or more of it, it's just simply a fact that this sense of self is as objectified as everything else within duality. The body, the mind, the sense organs, the moods, the emotions, all are objectified. They're part of the city. They're part of the city that's, you know, that's being seen in the mirror. Your body, mind, sense organs, everything that you're doing that is enjoying this sense of I, you know, is actually part of this body. You know, like if I say these fingers are part of this body, this leg is part of this body. Now we have to be able to say that's true, and this body is part of this body. This body, you know, is part and parcel of this total body. Now, once you, so look at like this. If I objectify this room, like I objectify, like if I were to objectify a meadow in my imagination. Let me just compare this again, because we have to. This is going to lead into the next verse, so that's why I want you to understand. If I ask you to imagine a meadow, then now I can talk in a certain way to you. You imagine the meadow, and you have people in the meadow. You've objectified the meadow. The meadow has come from you, right? It's a vritti, it's a thought modification. And in that thought modification, you can fill it with anything. You can put anything in it. Now if I say, do you see how that meadow, you know, is a picture? It's a picture with lots of things in it, including your body, mind, sense organs. And that picture, right, that vritti, that thought modification, is something which you illumine. And in fact, you are not only the self of you and your form in the meadow, you are the self of the entire meadow and everything in it. I think that's clear. I can make you imagine anything, any type of vritti, and say you are the self, the conscious being that illumines that thought. It doesn't have to be in a meadow. It can just be a thought. You can do it with your thought flow. You can just sit quietly and watch one thought leads to the next associative thinking. You can say, yeah, you know, I illumine all of those thoughts in its entirety. I don't illumine just half of the thought. I am pervasive to the thought. I'm immanent and transcendent. Any thought I have, I'm immanent and I'm transcendent. I'm transcendent because when the thought goes away, I'm still here. The thought doesn't take me away, so I transcend the thought. I can say I'm immanent to the thought because there's no part of the thought that's away from me, or that thought wouldn't be known. So I pervade the entire thought and I'm free of the entire thought. So we can say, yes, I see how that can be true. But now, what's so interesting is that the only thing you ever know is your thought, whatever it may be. So your connection to this physical reality that here, you know, there's a shared reality and we all agree on it. This isn't a question of negating a shared reality where I can say, oh, you're all over at my house and this is my rug and this is my table. And yes, that's a rug, that's a table. So, and we know each other. And so there's an objective reality here. But how am I right now experiencing this objective reality? Through my sense organs, which are creating a vritti, a thought modification, which I illumine. So the entire vritti is in consciousness. So now look at the vritti that you have right now. I mean, the vritti's gone changing very quickly, but nevertheless, the vritti that you have right now, if I'm looking myself, I'm seeing all of you. I'm seeing my hands, my peripheral vision. You know, I'm seeing my legs here. I see my glasses, you know. You see, whatever is going on with me, I'm seeing what's going on with you. What I'm trying to say is I'm included in the vritti. If I weren't included in the vritti, then this body, mind, sense, organs, person would not be known. See what I mean? Whatever your mind is doing at this time, that is what is known. Now, the me that you are, conscious being, is pervasive to whatever is known at this moment. And you are included in that. Now, that's harder to grasp than if I have you imagine a meadow. Because if I have you imagine a meadow, you know that that's all subtle, right? The meadow is all your subtle creation. Because it's a thought, it's an imagination. So it's subtle. And the body in the meadow is subtle. Whereas here, what you say is, it's true because that imagination is subtle and comes from me, is sustained by me, goes back to me, it's my creation. I didn't create this body. That's the problem. I didn't create this body and I'm experiencing you through the sense organs. You know, I create the meadow. The meadow comes from my mind. I create it and I create the beings in it. I, the one who creates the meadow, is not the one who creates this universe that I'm experiencing. Mm. So therefore, it's apples and oranges. But no, it's not apples and oranges. Because the meadow example isn't meant to say at all that you, this individual, create this world. This individual doesn't create this world. This world is created, and this body, mind, sense organs are a part of this created world. Just like you create the meadow, and the individuals that within the meadow are part of your created world, like that, this created universe, right, is something that includes you. Just like in your creation of the meadow, the individual in the meadow is included. The Lord that creates this, the one who creates this, has created you. You are part and parcel of this. And so now what we have to do is recognize this, that from the standpoint of the meadow, your imagination, I'm using meadow as an example for imagination, your imagination, it is consciousness that pervades the imagination, not your body, you know, not your body. Consciousness pervades the whole meadow. Who pervades the whole creation? The consciousness that pervades the meadow is the consciousness that pervades the whole creation. That's why we try to have you understand the relationship of consciousness to your meadow. And who is consciousness? Your consciousness, the conscious being that you are. The conscious being that illumines the body, the mind, the sense organs, and therefore is free of it. It is that conscious being that illumines your imaginary meadow. Or that conscious being, which is me, that illumines any thought that I have. That conscious being, when we do the see or seen differentiation, that conscious being can't be objectified to be a part of the meta. It will always be non-objectified, the non-objectifiable self that illumines the meta. Now, it is that non-objectifiable self that we're saying illumines the creation. The self that illumines the meta is the self that illumines the creation. It is the self, let me put it like this, it is the self from which the meadow comes, it is that self from which the whole creation comes. So just like consciousness illumines my meadow or my thought, the consciousness which is not contained like a pea in a pod, it's not contained in the creation, it's the very substratum of the creation, whether the creation is subtle or the creation is the whole Maya Upadi, that consciousness, right, is the one from whom the creation comes, who for whom this creation is sustained, and who into whom the creation is resolved. That relationship is what we call the relationship between Brahman consciousness and Maya. Why that's to this next verse, to this number two. In reference to the meadow, I am the Mayavi. Okay? I am the one. If I say to you, please imagine a meadow, and you say, okay, by my desire, I bring forward the meadow. So that's all. My icha, my desire, manifests the meadow. I don't have to go out and build the meadow. I don't have to go and find some material, you know, to create the meadow. The meadow itself comes just from me, from my being. It comes from my being without changing my being in any way. It comes from me as a conscious being without touching me in any way. How is that possible? What is the very nature of that material that can just manifest as a meadow? What if I say, oh, don't think of a meadow. Think of the ocean. Okay, yes, I'll do that. Manifest an ocean. Oh, don't think of an ocean. Imagine your home. Imagine, okay, no problem. As you desire, you can bring that into manifestation at will. So you are the Mayavi in reference to your imagination of the vrittis in your mind. You're the Mayavi. Where do you get that material? Does that material that you use to create that imagination have any substance or any being outside of yourself? And we say no. No. And you don't think anything strange about that at all. Really. I mean, you don't think it's anything strange because it is who you are. So now, think about, so we say Atma, yourself, is a Mayavi. It has this Maya capacity to imagine, to project a universe, to project anything that it wants to. It can project, right? Using whatever knowledge it has, right? In its avyakta, in that unmanifest condition. It has so much there in unmanifest condition, but that is something which I can bring into manifestation. What magical material would allow for that? So we say Maya, Yama iti Maya, that which is not. That Maya means it has no being of its own, separate from me, but I have this incredible capacity in my hands. As a being in my hands, I have this Maya at my fingertips to use as I wish. Right? This, so for the standpoint of you as a jiva, you don't have the same power. You have the same power as Ishwara to a limited degree because you have a limited amount of knowledge, and that knowledge, which is an unmanifest condition, can manifest in any form you choose. You can be as creative as you want. It'll manifest within the scope of Maya itself. It will manifest in that, and the material it uses will be a material that comes from you, sustained by you, resolves into you, and has no being apart from you. So now you can say, how can you say something like that? Well, we can say it because it's there. It's there to be described. It's something that's natural to us. And when you start really understanding the capacity that you have, it's wondrous. Like, say if you start thinking about the dream. You don't choose your dreams, perhaps if you're lucid dreaming, but say when you go to bed at night, a huge creation manifests for you, you know, which you participate in, and then when you wake up, that creation, that Maya creation, goes back into its avyakta, unmanifest state. It's actually a miraculous thing. So, but what do the Upanishads say? Is that what you, that which you enjoy in a limited degree, that is Maya. What you enjoy to a limited degree, that is the very stuff of the universe. And in fact, that Maya, when we look at the whole, what we call the Samashti, Maya Upadi, means the whole Maya, Ishwara's Maya, you know, that actually this entire creation, like a dream or like a meadow imagination, projects from the self, is sustained and resolves back into that nirvikalpa condition. Nirvikalpa means non-dual condition, unmanifest avyakta, unmanifest condition. And then that Maya projects again and resolves again and projects again and resolves again. Whose projection is it? Say Ishwara. Who is Ishwara? What is Ishwara? Ishwara is Brahman. Brahman is what? Me, the conscious, just from my own standpoint, conscious being, the consciousness, the existent conscious being which I am, which is not limited in any way by time or space or by quality. Desha Kalavastu Aparichedaha, that which is just completely pure, limitless being. But now when I say those words can't be, oh, there's some pure, limitless being out there. It's the pure, limitless being, which is me, which when I address myself as me, and I were, say, if I address myself as me, and then I stripped off all of my clothes to see who I really was. Well, these clothes would have to go, but then anything that is a dress would have to go. Anything that I'm wearing, anything that's objectifiable, would have to go off of me. Anything that I can look at, anything that I can be without, any experience I can have that isn't intrinsic to my being. If I can be without an experience of any kind, that's a dress. So say, here I am, this me that makes me me. We say this me is in reality Brahman. There's no limitation to you. The conscious being that you are isn't bound by time. There's no past, present, or future. There's just me, my own presence. And that presence isn't an object within time and space. You know, it's not an object that I can objectify. If I could objectify it, then who's the conscious being that's lighting that up? So this conscious being that is now being viewed from the standpoint of the body, mind, sense organs, this conscious being is in fact Brahman. It doesn't have any limitation whatsoever. So now, this Atma that I say, I am this conscious being, when I say Atma, I'm talking about me, the conscious being, from the standpoint of the body, mind, sense organs. If I strip off the dresses, any experiences that come and go that I can objectify, this conscious being, the Atma, the self that I am, that I've taken to be limited, I take off the dresses of all these experiences, and all of a sudden here I am, but I'm not, I'm limitless. I'm me, but I am free of the dress. I don't need these dresses to be. But then what am I? I'm Brahman. What am I means that there is no room for anything else. In terms of me, what is there besides me? If I take off these dresses, what is there besides me for me to have a shape, or to have boundaries, or to have borders, or to have time? And that stable self is what I have to actually have to recognize that right now as me, that very stable self. But now say, we recognize this me, me as Brahman. Now that kind of helps to get rid of this infinite conscious being. Right? He said, Brahman is the infinite conscious being. So, an infinite conscious being has to resolve, has to be a label for this me. You have to recognize that me, the self that is here, is an infinite conscious being, that I am an infinite conscious being. And so we take this self, which has now been released from this body, mind, sense organs that I can objectify that belongs to the creation, and then what do we say? That self, which is Brahman, has naturally to it Maya. So we can say Brahman, do we say Brahman plus Maya is Ishvara? And so there's some Maya over here. Would you say that myself, the Atma, myself, plus some Maya that I've collected from somewhere allows me to imagine a meadow? It's me, Atma, plus Maya. That Maya came along and I stuck it on me somehow. There's no plus. There's no plus. But what do you do with the Maya? Because Maya, your Maya, is natural to you, but it doesn't touch you in any way. Right? It projects. Imagine a meadow. Take a walk in the meadow. Put some animals in the meadow. Bring some friends into the meadow. Light a campfire. Do whatever you want in the meadow. You do all of that, and then you think, oh my God, I put myself in the meadow, I've created this meadow, how am I going to get out? How am I going to get out of this thing? You know? And no problem. No problem. You know there's no problem. You've never not had Maya. You've never not had Maya. You do what you want with the Maya, you resolve the Maya, you have no fear of getting caught in the meadow. You know, nothing is going to happen to you. Nothing does happen to you. The other thing is to recognize the truth of that. Nothing happens to you. When you imagine something, you know, when you imagine something, you can get lost in the imagination. If it's a daydream, you can get lost in the imagination. But if you're alert, you recognize, even while the daydream is going on, that you're not being touched in any way. You're the self of the meadow. You're the truth of the meadow. The meadow doesn't have any being apart from you, but you have this Maya at your, at you know, in your hands. That's why you are the Mayavi of the meadow. You're the great Mahayogi. You're the Mahayogi in reference to your creations. And we all have our creations. But you take it for granted. You have to recognize that in that creation, this incredible capacity comes from you, sustained by you, resolves into you. It has no being apart from you. That's Maya. And so there's no Brahman plus Maya. Brahman has Maya. That is something natural to Brahman. But we can't say it's a second thing. It's not Brahman plus Maya, as though Brahman has these qualities, the quality of Maya. It's not a quality, because nothing ever happens to Brahman. Right? So Maya has no being. That's why we say that which is not is Maya. That's a twist in the words, because if you say it is not, it shouldn't be there. But it is. You know, like if we use the clay pot example, it can say, it is not possible for that pot to be there. There's only clay there. That's true. There's only clay there. There's only clay there. There cannot be a pot there because there's only clay. It's true. There's only clay. The pot is only clay. But you see, that's the satyamitya. No, if there's only clay there, there can't be a pot. Oh, there's a pot there, but the pot is only clay. Right? And the clay is told, from the standpoint of the clay, there's no pot, there's only clay. But from the standpoint of the pot, there's the pot is there, but the pot is only clay. There's only clay there. We say there's only Brahman here. There's only me, there's only conscious being here, the me. That's all that is here. But this is here. This creation is here. But what is itself? You know, you are itself. What stops you from recognizing you are itself is this totally ingrained Dehatma Buddhi, that I am this body, and the whole universe supports that. The whole universe, your sense organs support it, everybody else is in the same condition, you know. Everybody else is born within the meadow, you know. They're not the Ishwar of the meadow. If you are the Ishwar of the creation, Ishwar has no problem. Right? Just like you have no problem in reference to your meadow, Ishwar has no problem. The whole creation, you know, manifests, sustains, resolves, manifests, sustains, resolves. It is my vibhuti. It is my glory. You know, it is my lila. It is my play. This is who I am. This is natural to me as Brahman. Right? Nothing happens to me. So if that's from Ishwara, Ishwara has no problem at all. Brahman has no problem at all either. Brahman will just say, nothing's happening. To me, nothing is happening. There's nothing going on. Don't worry. When you wake up from a dream, you recognize yourself as Brahman, you know, in reference to the dream. The whole dream is gone. Nothing has happened. Because what is actually there remains. It's amazing. Dream is wonderful. You just notice when you wake up from the dream, really, you realize mitya, because nothing's really happened. I haven't lost anything. Nothing's changed. The reality was me, not the dream. I am the reality. Nothing's happened. You know, that's a very vibrant, it's very experiential. Imagine, you know, when you drop this body. Say if you're an ajnani, an atheist, say you're an atheist, you drop this body, dead dies. What happens to the atheist? The body dies. What happens to the person? Nothing. Nothing. What are they going to say? What will they say? That's amazing. I say, well, that's amazing.
Nothing changed.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness I was wrong about that. I was wrong about that. Yeah. It's a very, very nice thing. Yeah. And you do remember, I've told many of you that story when I died on the just about died on the table in India, when I was
in Madras.
I had cholera. And I actually died on the table. I mean, I lost my pulse. And I was obviously I'm here, so I didn't really die. But I lost pulse and everything. And I left my body. I mean, somehow there was just a separation, because it was a serious thing. And I remember saying, when that happened, all of a sudden I had no body there at all. This must have lasted for just a number of seconds, 10, 15 seconds, I have no idea actually. But the thought was, this is what Swamiji said. It was like just a thought. This is what Swamiji said. And it was me. You know? It's me. That's why when people, it's really interesting, when people are even dying, their body is dying, you know, they don't have an experience of death. That was true for me also, and I was going very close to death on the train, and then they had me in this wheelchair and everything, and everything was dying completely. It never crossed my mind.
But you noticed the body wasn't there.
Well, that was when I was really totally away from the body, but as I was dying there, because I was losing all sense perception and wasn't able to move, and I mean, I was really, you know, retreating. You would think I would have a thought, oh gosh, I'm dying. I did not have that thought. It didn't occur to me. It didn't occur to me because, and this wasn't any Vedanta either. It's not like I was saying, oh, Vedanta tells me you're not dying. No. No thought like that. It was simply that nothing was happening to me. These experiences were happening, but it wasn't happening to me was not dying, which is how it is. You will never experience your dying. But all of these, it was very clear to me, all of these things were changing. I was losing all my sense perception and things were coming and going. All of these incredible things were happening, but not to me. Not to the me that is you, that you identify with right now. You know? And so that's the self that has to be differentiated, and then you have to be able to see the freedom of that self in reference to this creation. And in fact, there is nothing here that is in any way away from you. This Dehatma Buddhi makes you think that you're away, that you're the me is sequestered into this body. But in fact, this me that makes me me is not sequestered into this body. It's the self of the entire experience. And so it's very helpful to practice recognizing this by imagining a meadow or imagining a scene over and over again and putting yourself in it and walking and just get used to recognizing that your presence, the stability of your presence, and that your being isn't separate from anything that you're experiencing in the sense that nothing's away from it, and at the same time, nothing's touching it. Just like they just used this example in another text we were doing. If you take a cup and move it through space, how the space, Gita, how the space, you know, it isn't touched at all. I move a cup through space, or the wind we were using in the Gita, the wind is blowing through space. It doesn't touch me. It doesn't touch the space. The experiences that are passing through me, good and bad, some are, and it's not that they're all good, some are very intense, emotional experience, all kinds of experiences are passing through, they're coming and going and coming and going. But absolutely nothing is happening to my being. This is what needs to be differentiated. And so now what he's talking is this Maya, you know, just like with the meadow, when you experience in a meadow, or as using the example of the Mayavi or the magician, you know, or the Mahayogi, how they create. Like that, this whole creation is something which projects, right? It projects from its unmanifest condition, like a sprout in a seed. When the seed is there before the sprout, right, the sprout doesn't show, but it's there in unmanifest condition. It's not visible. Like that, this creation goes from that unmanifest Maya, you know, to manifest again and again and again. By who? Who is the Mayavi? Right? Just like for a Mayavi, for Ishwara, for Brahman, for my being. I have Maya. Maya is natural to me. And Maya is natural to me, but it's Maya. It's Mithya. It doesn't have a separate reality. It's Maya. I'm the Mayavi of this Maya. So Ishwar is the Mayavi. Ishwar is Brahman. When we look at Brahman and acknowledge this Maya capacity. So Brahman manifests this creation cyclically from beginningless time as its very nature, as your very nature, from the absolute standpoint of yourself. Cyclically from beginningless time, this creation is your expression. This creation is Brahman's expression. Maya is Brahman's expression. Why do we say then there's Brahman plus Maya? Because Maya has no being apart from Brahman. Just like you, if you play with your mind as a Mayavi, the Maya that you have at your disposal has no separation from you. It's not something away from you. It's something that's intrinsic, inherent. But we use those words, it's a problem, because then you think that Brahman has some Maya stuck in him. You know? There's no Maya stuck in. It's that Maya is the natural expression of Brahman, but it has no being other than Brahman. So that's the Satyamitya that has to be understood here. So it says, this creation goes from nirvikalpa, that unmanifest condition, you know, and again becomes manifest, just like a sprout inside of a seed. It's in the nirvikalpa, like a sprout inside of the seed. It comes into manifestation. How? Being imagined by Maya. Just like a Mayavi can create, or a Mahayogi can create according to their desire. Like that, for Ishwar, this creation manifests, goes into unmanifest, manifest goes into manifest. So, that one, to he who, like a Mayavi, creates this creation, that one, to him, in the form of my guru, my salutation, in the form of Krishnamurti, who is also in the form of my teacher, to him, this salutation. So he's bringing it back again to Dakshinamurti, to Shiva, to Ishwar, the relationship of the manifest creation to the self. Okay, so let's stop there. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.